Hello, hello, boys and girls. Hope you're well. Welcome back to another edition of The Stories We Tell. With me, Ruby, or Mridula, as you know me. And again, today I am alone, although it is evening rather than morning when I read the last story to you. So, what I thought is, because I talked to you all about Raman the Matchless Wit, which is a story from India based on a series that has been published by the oldest, I think, comic book series in India, or comic book publication in India, called Amar Chitra Katha. I thought I would read a few stories from that series. So the stories I'm going to record in the next few days is all going to be based on the Amar Chitra Katha comic book publications. And these are, as I said last time, extremely special to all of us growing up in that time, because that's what we read, that's what told us everything about mythology and what we knew at that time about religion or spirituality or history even. We learned that from our Amar Chitra Katha comics. And it was wonderful, because we had mythology books, we also had classics from Indian literature. We had fables and humor, so, you know, the Panchatantra type of stories. We had inspiring tales of thinkers and politicians. And then we also had contemporary classics. But it was all based on life in India. And it was just a wonderful experience for all of us. So, the Amar Chitra Katha series continues. And today's story is called Vikramaditya. About 1600 years ago, a vast part of India was ruled by a great king, Samudragupta. Pataliputra was its capital, what is now known as Patna. The king had two sons, Ramagupta and Chandragupta. They had a number of playmates, sons of their father's ministers and officers. One day, "Prasen, shall we go to the riverbank to play? That will be great fun. The riverbank is haunted by wild beasts. Let us see what father says." They went to the king. "May we go to the riverbank for a walk?" "Certainly, my sons, you have nothing to fear." As they played on the riverbank, "Run, Prince Chandragupta, run, a lion is coming this way." "Chandragupta, run for your life." But Chandragupta stood his ground. "Let it come, I'll face it." As the lion attacked him, Chandragupta sidestepped, and Ramagupta, he is brave, isn't he? "Ha, he was just trying to show off," said Ramagupta. As the princes did not return in time, Samudragupta had sent his soldiers to look for them. Oh, a dead lion at the feet of Prince Chandragupta. The soldiers rushed back and informed Samudragupta. "That's not like my son. I hope he's not hurt." At that moment, the princes and their friends arrived, following by a cheering crowd. "I saw him killing the lion. He is fearless indeed. Won't you reward the prince, Maharaj?" "How shall I reward you, my son?" "Ah, you will bear the burdens of this vast kingdom of mine," said Samudragupta. "Minister, did you hear that?" "Don't worry, my prince. As far as I can help it, your right will not be taken away from you." A few years later, when Samudragupta died, "Minister, please send for the royal priest to perform my crowning ceremony." "Don't be impatient, Prince Ramagupta." "Chandragupta might." "It's too soon. Your father's ashes are still warm." When a few days had gone by, Your Holiness, please make the necessary arrangements to crown Prince Ramagupta. But our late Maharaj had wished for Prince Chandragupta to succeed him. But Prasen, the right of succession is my elder brother's, said Chandragupta. The crowning ceremony was performed. May you safeguard the traditions of your ancestors and the country, sire. He will safeguard neither of the two. Take my word for it. Later, Ramagupta married Dhruva Devi, a princess of matchless beauty. Welcome, Chandragupta. The queen has been inquiring about you. I had heard of your heroic deeds even before I was married, Chandragupta, said Dhruva. The following day, Madhavi, there is no exaggeration in what they say of Chandragupta. Yes, he deserves all they say and more. Prince Chandragupta even renounced the crown for your husband. Is that so? One day, my lord, I am told that Prince Chandragupta gave up the crown for you, asked Dhruva Devi. You may have heard many more things. My queen, nobody ever makes such a sacrifice for another. Some months later, the king went on an expedition to the southern region of the kingdom. When it grew dark, they all camped near a river. Next morning, when they were starting marching ahead, I hear trumpets, a warning signal. Soon, a soldier came rushing to the king. Maharaj, the pass ahead is in the hands of the Sakas. We can't go any further. Sometime later, I bring bad news, O king. The pass through which we came has also been captured by the Sakas. We are trapped. Oh, what will happen now? We will be massacred. Find out some way, minister. Find out what the Saka king wants. Offer him a peace treaty. A treaty? Is there no alternative? Said Dhruva Devi. Go away from here. Don't meddle in the matters of the state, said Ramagupta. Soon the king's messenger returned. What does the Saka king say? Maharaj, I don't dare repeat it. Have no fear. Does he demand a very heavy price? His demand, sir, is shameful. I'll pay any price for peace. Maharaj, he said Maharani Dhruva Devi was to have been married to him a long time ago. He demands the hand of our queen? That's right. This is ridiculous. Isn't there another way out? Maharaj, we are now at the mercy of the Sakas. Then I have to give a serious thought to this. The security of our country must be our first concern, Maharaj. And what about the traditions of our ancestors? Traditions cannot be saved unless the country is secure, sire. Oh, then I have to give up Dhruva Devi. Messenger, inform him. I accept. In the meantime, there's a picture of Dhruva Devi escaping from that tent because obviously she was mortified that the king was prepared to sacrifice her for the purposes of peace. Disaster has befallen us, Maharani. What is it, Madhavi? Oh, apologies. It wasn't the queen running away. It was one of the queen's helpers who was there. And she reported back to the queen. What is it, Madhavi? Has Maharaj agreed to a treaty? Yes, and you are the price. Did I hear you right, Mahadevi? Maharani, I overheard the whole discussion. Isn't there anybody to save me from this mortal insult? Yes, there is. Prince Chandragupta alone can help you. Is that really possible? Hurry, go to him. Later, Madhavi has told me all. O Queen, Prince, your brother has betrayed me, said Dhruva Devi to Chandragupta. Please calm yourself. Nobody dare insult you while I am alive. The prince always honors his word, my queen, said Madhavi. later. May I have a word with you, Maharaj? What is it? Maharaj, have you really agreed to hand over Maharani Dhruva Devi to the Saka king? There is no alternative, Chandragupta. This must be done to save our country, O prince. I will never allow this. Then do you want me killed, Chandragupta? No, you will not be harmed, nor will the queen be given up to the Saka king. How can this be? You will all know in time. Well, Chandragupta, but the responsibility then will be yours wholly. The day Dhruva Devi was to be handed over to the Saka king, prince, you are doing this for me? Maharani, look, the prince looks like he's your twin. So Prince Chandragupta had basically worn Maharani's clothes with a veil and jewelry and had covered his face. Exactly what I want to look like. And now wait and watch. The sword is well hidden, isn't it, Madhavi? Yes, prince, completely. No one will ever suspect it. Then permit me to depart, Devi. God be with you, prince. Take away the palanquin. Hail Bhavani! Jai Bhavani! The palanquin approached the Saka king's camp. Our Saka king deserved this most beautiful woman, and he has now got her. With an army like his, he is now invincible. O Saka king, Maharani Dhruva Devi's palanquin is almost here. Are you all set to accord her a royal reception? Yes, sir. Tell the soldiers and the guards to leave. My cherished dream is about to come true, said the Saka king. Welcome, welcome, Maharani Dhruva Devi. You are now the consort of the Saka king, not of that coward Ramagupta. And at that, Dhruva Devi transforms into Chandragupta, which means that he takes off his robes and pulls out his sword and says, "You scoundrel!" Oh, I've been tricked, said the Saka king. Yes, you have. Take this, your just meat. The Saka king fell wounded. Chandragupta's men entered the camp. Be alert, soldiers. No Saka should escape. Your orders will be carried out, Maharaj. And also, notify the squad waiting close by. Very well, Maharaj. In a short while, thousands of Saka troops were put to death. Victory to Prince Chandragupta! Chandragupta Maharaj ki jai! Long live Maharani Dhruva Devi! Maharani Dhruva Devi ki jai! Hundreds of Saka soldiers and officers were taken prisoners. Our king, the great conqueror, is no more, they wept at the death of the great Saka king. Spare our lives, we beg of you, commander. You will be banished from this country. But if you dare to return, said Chandragupta, you will be put to death. Informed of the Saka debacle, Ramagupta and Dhruva Devi arrived on the scene. I am very pleased with you, Chandragupta. You will be rewarded well. I am indebted to you forever, prince. On their return to the capital, victory to Chandragupta! Hail Maharani Dhruva Devi! Chandragupta was the chosen heir to the Gupta throne. Maharaj Samudragupta had himself nominated him. Ramagupta is a coward. He has no right to be king. These are all the whispers going on now amongst the common citizens of the city. Everybody was very, very upset about it. Let us go in, minister. I have heard enough about Chandragupta for a lifetime. He deserves all of it and more, Maharaj. You too have been taken in by him? I cannot forever close my eyes to the realities. After his strenuous experience, Chandragupta slept like a baby. That night, in Chandragupta's bedchamber, the picture shows Chandragupta sleeping and Ramagupta entering stealthily with a sword. Very sad. Hey, who's that? There is a fight that ensues. Oh God, it's you! And in that fight, basically, Chandragupta, in his self-defense, killed Ramagupta, who incidentally had come to kill his own brother. Shame on you, Ramagupta. In the court next day, I have sad news for you. Maharaj Ramagupta is dead. And the talk on the roads and in the villages and in the town was, the coward deserved it. In the dead of night, he made a dastardly attempt on Prince Chandragupta's life. At that moment, a throng of people entered the court. Victory to Chandragupta! He can safeguard the country and the Gupta traditions. Yes, Prince Chandragupta is the rightful heir to the Gupta throne. The honored throne of the Guptas should not remain vacant for a moment. Prince Chandragupta must instantly be crowned. I have a serious proposal to make to you, gentlemen. Is he again trying to play some mischief? It is he who set Prince Ramagupta on the throne, so basically one of the ministers. Prince Chandragupta saved the honor of both his country and his ancestors. Ah, he's realized it after all. We will lay down our lives for Prince Chandragupta. Prince Chandragupta is the rightful heir to the Gupta throne. And then this minister says, and he has the right to marry Maharani Dhruva Devi. Well said. Prince Chandragupta saved her from dishonor. Your Holiness, please come up. The wedding should be performed right after the crowning ceremony. After the crowning ceremony, may God bless you. Victory to Maharaj Chandragupta. The burden of defending the country is now yours, Maharaj Chandragupta. This is an auspicious day. Why not perform the wedding now? Will it be appropriate, holy priest? Well, the consent of Maharaj Chandragupta and Maharani Dhruva Devi has to be obtained. Your decision will be binding on me, said Chandragupta. I accept the will of Maharaj Chandragupta, the minister, and all our people. The wedding was solemnized. Minister, please ask the people to stay a while. I have to make a special announcement. My countrymen, as you will be my witness, I will not rest until I have driven every single Saka out of our country. It will be my endeavour to keep this promise alive and fresh in the mind of our Maharaj. Dhruva Devi kept her word. One day at the court in Ujjaini, you are a great poet, Kalidas. I would like to see the drama Shakuntala enacted again next full moon day. Wouldn't you, Devi? Kalidas, by the way, was a very, very gifted poet in the court of Chandragupta. And he wrote some immortal classics. So he has basically come at this time and Prince Chandragupta, or King Chandragupta now, is talking about seeing the Shakuntala. There is great charm in the poet's writings, but Maharaj, later in the palace, Devi, you wanted to tell me something in the court this evening. What was it? Maharaj, haven't we stayed long enough at this place? I like the place. I like the people. The people here adore you because you freed them from Saka domination. They all refer to you as Vikramaditya. But the Sakas still rule in Gujarat. Is that what you want to remind me about? Yes, Maharaj. And near the borders of the country, the Kushanas harass our people. Spurred by the words of Dhruva Devi, Chandragupta soon left on a campaign against the Sakas. May victory be with you, Maharaj. Months later, Maharani, a letter for you from the emperor. Then what I heard must be right. The Maharaja must have won the battle against the Sakas of Gujarat. Yes, Madhavi, the last vestige of foreign rule has been removed from our land, and the Maharaj will be coming back soon. Great news, Maharani. People gave an enthusiastic welcome to their hero on his return. Later, Chandragupta went as far as Bactria, beyond the Hindu Kush mountains, and defeated the Kushanas too. And that is the end of the story. Now, I wish I could show you a picture of what Chandragupta achieved during his incredible reign as the monarch of the Gupta Empire. The Gupta period itself is known as the golden period of India. It was from 320 to 550 CE, a time of great development in the fields of art, literature, science and technology. The Chinese traveller Fa Hien has left extensive records which tell of a people who were rich and prosperous and vied with each other in the practice of benevolence and righteousness. Though the Gupta Empire was Hindu, other contemporary religions also flourished without hindrance. A number of scholars, including Pandit Vishnu Sharma, Aryabhatta and Vatsyayana, lived during this period. Vishnu Sharma, you might recall, was the one who wrote the Panchatantra, the stories from India that all have a moral behind the tales. And these stories travelled abroad to Baghdad and Byzantium and became the basis for many folk tales across the world, like Aesop's fables or Arabian tales. The noted dramatist Kalidas wrote his immortal classic, the Shakuntala, or Abhijnana Shakuntala, during the reign of Chandragupta II. The Gupta period is also known for the many universities that flourished during that time, attracting students from all over India and abroad. The best known among these was the illustrious University of Nalanda, which had 8 colleges and 3 libraries in its precincts. Industry flourished and the country produced the finest steel in the world. Master weavers produced and exported textiles like cotton, calico and chintz. And from what I can see, this empire was pretty much approximately half of what was or what we know as India now, and also beyond the Hindu Kush mountains in the north. So the only thing that wasn't covered, so to speak, was the Deccan area, the southern parts, and the part from lower Madhya Pradesh to somewhere around Orissa, perhaps. I remember studying this when I was in school, and we had a beautiful book called The Cultural History of India that had the most amazing pictures and the most amazing details about all these empires, which I now fondly recall. So that brings us to the end of this story from Amar Chitra Katha that talks about this great king and talks about the courage and honor with which he fought. He ensured that he sought the approval of Dhruva Rani and didn't just say that he was going to marry her. So also a gracious and honorable young man, and of course, courage beyond doubt. So that brings us to the end of this story. I hope you've enjoyed it. And I'm going to be coming back with some more stories from the Amar Chitra Katha series. In the meantime, I hope you have yourselves a lovely evening. I hope you're staying safe and well. If you're in the UK, I know that there are a lot of restrictions being removed, but I hope you're still going to be as cautious as possible, not panicky and not unnecessarily risk averse, but that you do wear your masks and that you ensure that you're still washing your hands, sanitizing, doing everything that you need to do. If you do have COVID, that you're isolating. If you have symptoms that are like COVID, you're still going to stay at home and be safe so that we can avoid this spread of Omicron. On that note, I'd love to wish you a wonderful evening and give you all my love. Stay safe, stay happy, keep reading, keep listening, and I hope you have a great night's sleep. Good night. Toodles.